Hello and welcome to Radio Havana Cuba's Scientific and Medical Report. I'm Lena Valverde, your host. Stay with me as I will bring you details of the latest developments in the fields of science and healthcare in Cuba and around the world. In a major health-related story this week, scientists with Dalhousie University and Nova Scotia health authorities in Canada have stated that they have discovered the cause of strange symptoms found in recent years among U.S. and Canadian diplomats here in Cuba. The research, led by Dr. Alan Friedman from the Department of Neuroscience and Medical Pediatrics of that Canadian university, contends that neuronoxin exposure was behind the mysterious cases of lack of balance and vertigo. The sickening chemicals are easy to be found in pesticides used to eradicate mosquitoes. Cuba Debate News website reports that during a meeting held last July here in Havana, the Canadian researchers shared their thesis in a preliminary way with Cuban authorities and the committee of experts that has been studying the U.S. allegations for almost 2 years. The mysterious symptoms have added to the diplomatic crisis between Cuba and the United States. In 2017, Washington pulled members of its embassy staff from the Cuban capital. In April 2018, Canada followed, withdrawing the families of its diplomats stationed here in Cuba, this before also reducing its staff. Scientists were able to examine several individuals before and after returning from Cuba and found several changes after their stay on the Caribbean island. According to Dr. Friedman, there are very specific types of toxins that affect these kinds of nervous systems, and these are insecticides, pesticides, and organophosphates, specifically neurotoxins. In 2016, Cuban authorities launched aggressive fumigation campaigns to eradicate mosquitoes carrying the Zika virus. In addition, Canadian researchers found that embassies also sprayed their offices as well as inside and outside the residences of their diplomats up to 5 times more frequently than usual. Cuban specialists believe that although the work of the Dalhousie University research team has been carried out with scientific consistency, the sample is small and it is difficult to reach definitive conclusions. Up next, we bring statements here in Havana by Dr. Mitchell Joseph Valdez Sosa, Director General of Cuba's Neuroscience Center and a member of the experts team that investigated the mysterious health incident. Let's listen.
A new study was published by a group from the University of Pennsylvania in the Journal of the American Medical Association, where they compared the neural images, or in other words, images of the brain of American diplomats that had been stationed in Havana and that had reported health incidents with a control group. The study concluded that there was a difference in the brain images of the diplomats and of the control group. This article is a sequel to a previous paper that was published in the same journal by the same group in March last year, where they described the clinical all the clinical characteristics that, of the diplomats. Although it's not usual to comment in such a short time about a scientific article, given the media interest, it's been reported in many newspapers and many media, we decided to give our preliminary conclusions in order to avoid incorrect interpretations. This is the opinion of the medical group that has been, and the scientific technical group that in Cuba has been studying these incidents. So the first thing is that the authors of the paper recognize that this is not a conclusive study, and they do not have an explanation for their results. The changes in the brain images are very small, very diverse, and very diffuse, and they do not correspond to a coherent explanation. And this is not only the opinion of the Cuban medical group, but also of several internationally recognized experts in the topic of neuroimage that today have made statements, and they have reached the conclusion that the results do not have an internal coherence to make them easily interpretable. It's very frequent in studies of neuroimaging, as well as other medical fields, that you can obtain small effects in small groups that later on are not replicable. They cannot be reproduced. They may arise out of chance. Some of the changes described in the images were slightly towards the abnormal, but other changes were slightly towards hypernormal. So it's very difficult to interpret these results. You cannot see in the paper the degree of overlap between the data of the two groups, which makes it difficult to interpret. The differences between diplomats and controls, if it exists, could be due to the way the control group was selected. Any pre-existing disease in one group of diplomats that would be absent in the group of controls, or vice versa, could give origin or could produce a difference in the images. The study uses some measures of functional connectivity, which studies networks in the brain, but these kinds of measures are very unspecific, and they can be altered by the psychological state of the person. And this is something that the article recognizes and all the scientific community knows. There's no clear relationship between the small changes you can see in that are described for the narrow images and the symptoms which the diplomats described. There's not a good correspondence between the results of this paper and the previous article. For example, in the article from last year, the group from the University of Pennsylvania described abnormalities in the executive functions which are controlled by the frontal lobes. Yet in this paper, there's the new article, there is no changes in the networks that control, the functional networks that control executive functions. These changes in the neuroimages, if they exist, could have been produced before the diplomats came to Cuba or for any other reason, including diseases that have nothing to do with the directional phenomena of strange noises or other sensations that would describe the diplomats. Despite the fact that in the title of the paper and in the body of the article, there's reference, continuous reference to directional phenomena, there's no demonstration in the paper of any relationship between any findings, any medical finding, and this directional phenomena. This is very important because the whole idea of sonic attacks, microwave attacks, or any kind of external physical agent acting on the brains of the diplomats is totally discredited in the international scientific community. This has been discussed, and it's totally discredited. So, concluding, the article does not allow us to draw firm, final scientific conclusions. We could say that the picture now is, in fact, more confused and contradictory. And this is very important because many of the criticisms that have been leveled against the original, the first paper, the scientific community published many criticisms pointing out serious flaws in that paper, have not been responded to adequately. So, contrary to what has been speculated and what was stated in the previous article, this new article does not demonstrate that damage to the brain was induced in a group of diplomats during their stay in Cuba. We do not deny that some individuals can be sick, but what we do want to do, what we think is necessary, is to advance towards more coherent explanations that are solid from a scientific point of view. The only way of clarifying the whole issue of these health incidents is through a transparent scientific discussion, exchange of information, and establishing trust and confidence, because that's the only way we can reach the truth. Thank you.
Those were statements to the press here in Havana by Dr. Mitchell Joseph Valdez Sosa, Director General of Cuba's Neuroscience Center and a member of the expert team that investigated the mysterious health incident affecting U.S. and Canadian diplomats stationed here in Havana. And you're listening to a new edition of the Medical and Scientific Review, a program heard every other week here on Radio Havana, Cuba. And the World Health Organization, WHO, announced this past week that Cuba maintains the World Body's certification for having eliminated the mother-to-child transmission of HIV and syphilis, a condition the Caribbean state has maintained over the past 4 years. Cuba was first certified by the World Health Organization in 2015, the first country in the world which eliminated the mother-to-child transmission of HIV and syphilis as a health problem. Cuban Public Health Minister José Ángel Portal announced the news on his Twitter account, citing the WHO statement, which calls Cuba's result an impressive achievement in terms of public health. And that's all we have time for today. Join us every other week for Radio Havana Cuba's Scientific and Medical Report. Until next time.